I feel like I'm a game show host with that. I don't know about you. Ryan Seacrest coming out, you know, I don't know. Good morning, everybody. How are you? It is good to see you from me and Laura to you. Happy New Year from us. We didn't get to see you in that last week, but I'm so glad you're here today. And we were not here the last couple of weeks. Last time I saw you, unless you were here this past Wednesday night, was probably on our Christmas Eve service. So good to see you again. Let me say how much I appreciate the last 2 weeks. Pastor Ryan Joyner and Pastor Brett Mays filling the pulpit for me. Would you show them your appreciation? Truly, truly appreciate that. Hey, we begin today it's a brand new series called First Things First, getting this year started right. But also today, we're kicking off 21 days of prayer and fasting. I actually snuck in last week and sat up in the top corner up there for the second service. And I don't know if you took Pastor Brett at his word, and this past week you pigged out getting ready for the fast. I'm not sure if you did that or not, but I hope you're ready for what God is going to do in your life through these 21 days of prayer and fasting. So I'm going to start in Matthew chapter 6, verses 16 through 18. So just so you know, if you're taking notes, we're going to be in a lot of different places this morning because I want to try to answer some questions about what fasting is, why do we fast, and then how fasting actually transforms our lives. And so if you've got a Bible, you want to turn to those places, that's fine. You can keep up with it on the screen. But if you'd like just to, if you take notes, that's fine. But you can also download the notes from our website or from our app that will give you all the notes if you want to go back and review these things and have all the scriptures available to you. Also, each day, starting tomorrow, each day with our 21 days of prayer and fasting, we'll have a devotion that will be posted online. And so it'll be on our website, it'll be on social media, YouTube, different places. So I hope you'll take part of that. That will sort of help you in the process of that day, sort of what the scripture is that day, explaining something, and maybe just putting a spiritual truth or a nugget in your spirit that you can just take and you can sort of just let it, I don't know, this is a bad way to say it, just let it resonate, or, you know, maybe I'm hungry from the fat, marinate in your spirit, I don't know. But just let it settle down and speak to you, settle down really deep and speak to you on that day. And you can find that, all those devotions you can find at mountparanorth.com/21 days, and hope you'll take part in all of that. So starting in Matthew chapter 6, verses 16 through 18, this is Jesus speaking. He says, "When you fast," not if you fast, "when you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show others they are fasting. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face so that it will not be obvious to others that you are fasting." Let me stop right there. Jesus is speaking to folks that made a religious exercise of fasting, but they also wanted everyone to see them and know that they were fasting. They wanted to get bonus points from everyone that would know that they were fasting. So what you would find is they would fast on certain days of the week. And when they fasted on those certain days, they would allow themselves their hair to be disheveled. They would allow themselves to go around. They just looked bad, like they rolled out of bed. And people would look at them and say, "What's wrong with you?" And they, "Oh, I'm fasting." And if they, "Oh, how spiritual you are." And Jesus said, that's not how this works at all. What he said instead is, put oil on your head and wash your face. Now, that's not how we do it today. You know what he would say today? Get up, get a shower, brush your hair, brush your teeth, don't look like you haven't slept in 7 days, and go out and do it, not for people, but do it for the Lord. So he goes on and says, it won't be obvious to others that you're fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen. And your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Let's pray this morning as we talk about what fasting is, and really, not just a fast that's a spiritual exercise, not just a religious thing that you do to check the box, but fasting that will transform your very life. Let's pray. Father, for the next few moments, I pray that you would give me clarity of thought as I share what you have given me to share today. Anoint the words you've given me to say as they go forth, and on our ears to hear and our hearts to receive them. But Lord, I pray that as they settle in our spirit, that our lives will be changed and we'll be challenged by your word today. And for all that you're going to do, we give you praise in advance in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. So let's talk about what fasting is. Some of you may know what fasting is. Some of you have no idea what it is. Let's talk about fasting. And I want to talk to you from a biblical perspective. So biblically, biblical fasting is refraining from food for a spiritual purpose. That's what fasting is. It's refraining from food for a spiritual purpose. Now, I know there's a lot of different things that are that we talk about, and there are some things that people will give up at different times, okay? So what I need you to understand is this. From a biblical perspective, it's about food, okay? Nothing gets your attention like hunger pangs, right? Nothing does. I mean, I've got, I'm not going to call his name, David Lewis, but you can set your watch by a meeting. If it gets 11:30 every day, David goes from, he just gets agitated because 11:30, that's his lunchtime every day. I mean, every day. He moves from very, very nice, jovial to hungry to hangry really fast, really fast. Nothing gets your attention like that. Biblical fasting is about food. Now, some of you will give up your social media or screen time or different things like that, but that's not, I want you to do that if God calls you to do that, in addition to whatever God calls you to do with a fast. That doesn't take the place of a fast, okay? And some of you may have a medical condition where you say, oh, I take medicine, I can't fast completely, or all those things. Ask God what he wants you to do. I know some churches do corporate fasts where they say everybody's doing a Daniel fast or whatever, and that's fine. I am of the opinion that it's not just a corporate thing that we do, but it's an individual thing that we do. And if you'll ask God what he wants to do in your life, he'll begin to renew and revive your individual life. And as he does that, he renews and revives us corporately together as well. I believe God wants to do something in your life. I think he wants to do something in all of our lives, but I think there's something he wants to do in me that might be different than he wants to do in you. So I want you to ask God how he wants you to fast. Now, what does that mean? Sometimes fasting is just doing without food or water for a day or a number of days or whatever you think the Lord lays on your heart. There is fasting like a 24-hour fast. There's fasting from sunup to sundown, okay? Now, if you fast from sundown to sunup, that's a nap. That's not a fast, okay? And that's not it at all, okay? So, and then there are those that have to eat sometimes, maybe medically speaking, they have to, but you can give up certain things that you really love. It is about giving something up so that your mind then is taken to a place where as you think about the thing that you've given up, you remember what you have in Jesus Christ. It's a purpose for that. So it's refraining from food, okay, for a spiritual purpose. You may do other things, okay? You may, in addition to that, say, I'm going to give up social media, or I'm going to give up screen time. You may do all of those things. You may settle on some time of solitude that you want to spend with the Lord during those times that you couple with that. Here is what I want to encourage. Can I just be real with you right now? Okay? Let me encourage you. If you take a break from social media, I'm going to give you something life-changing right now, okay? You don't have to announce it. You don't have to say, I'll be back in 21 days taking a break, gonna spend some time with God, okay? Don't make it obvious the things that you, and your Father who is unseen will reward you. Allow God to reward you for the things that you're doing. And don't look or seek the applause of men or women, but a look for the applause and the favor of God. So that's what fasting is. This is what Deuteronomy 8, chapter 8, verses 2 and 3. It's where fasting first was really talked about in this. And it's where the children of Israel, the people of Israel, had been brought out of slavery in Egypt, where they had been for 400 years. God brings them out. They've been following God for 40 years. They're about to go into the promised land. Moses is about to hand over the leadership to Joshua, and he writes Deuteronomy as a summation of all that God has done and all that God has commanded them to do. And in chapter 8, verses 2 and 3, he says, "Remember how the Lord your God led you all the way in the wilderness these 40 years to humble and test you in order to know what was in your heart, whether or not you would keep his commands." Notice verse 3. He humbled you, causing you to hunger and then feeding you with manna, which neither you nor your ancestors had known, to teach you that man does not live on bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. What was the purpose of fasting? To humble them. The purpose of fasting is to humble ourselves before the Lord and willingly admit that I cannot do anything without you, Lord. I can't get up. I can't get up and make myself breathe in the morning. You've given me breath. I can't wake myself up in the morning. You wake me up. You give me rest at night. I can't do any of those things. Even the basic things of my life, I can't do. I can't make my heart beat. You do that, Lord. I am totally dependent on you. It is a willing act of humility that says, I am dependent on you, and I recognize this. For this season, this time period that you've given me in my life. So that's what a fast is. It's about humbling yourself. It has to do with food, okay? And I'm not telling you how you should fast. I am telling you, you ought to pray and ask the Holy Spirit, what do you want me to do? I've asked the Holy Spirit what he wants me to do. And I'm going to follow what he wants me to do. The only person that will know that is my wife. That's it. No one else is going to know those things. I'm asking you to ask the Lord, what does he want you to do during these 21 days of prayer and fasting? Now, second question is this, why should we fast? What are the reasons why we fast? I'm going to give you four biblical reasons why you fast. The first one is this, we fast to draw near to God, to draw near to him. In Matthew chapter 6, we read just a moment ago, verses 16 through 18, where Jesus is teaching on fasting. Jesus actually teaches three things there, three things that the religious leaders and the people were very susceptible to do. The three areas were this, giving, praying, and fasting. All of them he spoke about when they would pray in public so he'd get people's praise, when they would give in public so people would praise them, and they would fast publicly so people would praise them. He addresses all three of those, and after he addressed those, now he comes into this place where he begins to talk about the summation of what this brings you to in your life. And he follows up this teaching on fasting, praying, and giving by saying this. In verse 25, he says, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothes?" Verse 31, "So do not worry, saying, what will we eat or what shall we drink or what shall we wear? For the pagans, the ungodly, run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." So Jesus is saying, look, all the things that people run after, all of the things of this world, all the things that you strive for, all of the praise you look for out of men, even by doing religious things, he said, all of these things, he said, if you'll seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all the other things you're asking for, they'll be added to you. They'll be given to you. We fast not to get people's attention. We fast to humble ourselves before the Lord so we can draw near to him, seek his face, seek his righteousness, and allow his kingdom work to be done in our lives. So one of the reasons why we fast is to draw near to God. Second reason is this, we fast and we pray over a crisis, over a critical decision we have to make. A couple of places in scripture I want to show you. One deals with a king of Israel named Jehoshaphat. So he is faced with this difficult moment where he's leading the people, and now there are two major armies coming against him, and he doesn't know what to do. They're stronger than him, they're larger than him, and he doesn't know what to do. And so in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verses 1 through 4, it says, "After this, the Moabites and the Ammonites came to wage war against Jehoshaphat. Some people came and told Jehoshaphat, 'A vast army is coming against you from Edom, from the other side of the Dead Sea, and it's already in En-Gedi.' Alarmed, Jehoshaphat resolved to inquire of the Lord." Notice that. He's alarmed, but he says, "I need to inquire of the Lord." "And he proclaimed a fast for all of Judah. And the people of Judah came together to seek help from the Lord. Indeed, they came from every town in Judah to seek him." So he calls everyone together and he says, "We need to know what the Lord wants to do here. What is the Lord's direction? What is the Lord's plan? What does the Lord want us to do? How does he want us to follow him?" So he declares a fast for himself and the people around him publicly. He says, "Let's fast, let's pray, let's ask God." God answers their prayer, God delivers them. But notice what starts. He humbles himself before the Lord and says, "I don't have all the answers. I don't have all the strength. I don't know what to do necessarily. I know I'm leading these people, but I'm not sure what exactly I'm supposed to do as the leader. So I will humble myself before the Lord and ask God what he wants to do. And God gives him his answer of victory. The second place is found from a woman named Esther in the book of Esther. Esther is a Jewish lady that is living in Persia. She's living there because of the exile. Many of the people have been taken there. They've been slaves for years in the Babylonian and the Persian empires. And so the king there, because of a vacancy in, I don't have time to get into all of it, because of a vacancy in someone being the queen, he holds a beauty contest in order to find a queen. I know that sounds probably strange to you. How many of you have ever watched The Bachelor or The Bachelorette? Let me see your hands. There are four people that raised their hands. You people are liars. I've seen the ratings. I've seen them. It's a contest where there's either a bachelor or a bachelorette, and they have all of these people, and they're striving for their attention, and one person wins the attention, and everlasting love that lasts about 6 months or whatever that is, you know? But in this case, there was a contest, hundreds of women from across the nation. And one of them, her original name was Hadassah. She is known as Esther, and she is a Jewish person. She is entered into the contest. She wins the contest. She becomes the queen. And then there comes a moment where there arises an evil plot by a man named Haman, and he manipulates the king in order to give a decree that all the Jewish people should be eradicated, wiped out, genocide. And so her uncle, Mordecai, comes to her and says, you need to go to the king and expose what's happening here. And she says, I can't go to the king. It's literally illegal to go before the king unless you are called by the king. You get put to death for that. And he says, whether salvation comes through you or through someone else, he says, who knows if you haven't come into the kingdom for such a time as this? He said, but salvation will come to the Jews one way or the other. And she says, I will go. And this is the response that she gives him in chapter 4, verse 16. She says, go, gather all the Jews who are in Susa, fast for me. Do not eat or drink for 3 days, night or day. I and my attendants will fast as you do. And when this is done, I'll go to the king, even though it's against the law. And if I perish, I perish. She goes to the king after the fast is over with. The king extends his scepter towards her, which means, and you're here illegally, but I accept you. God gives her favor. Favor in that moment, but also favor as to how to expose the plot. And over a series of a couple of meals between the king and the man Haman and her, he exposes the plot. Haman is therefore defeated. The Jews are saved. And the Jewish people still celebrate this under the holiday of Purim, even to this day, of this act that God did. But when she knew she had to do something and needed to know, how should I do this? A crisis and a critical decision. She said, we need to fast and we need to pray. Nothing can give you spiritual clarity like fasting sometimes. When you have a decision that needs to be made, listen, when Laura and I were first married, we'd been married for less than 2 weeks, and my company offered me a position that I wasn't sure whether I needed to take it or not, and it was 9 hours away from home. And we decided on that day, if there's ever a big decision we've got to face, that day we decided we're going to take God at his word, we're going to fast, we're going to pray. And we did that for a few days. And then the interview came and we prayed this, Lord, if this is your will, open the door, make it obvious. If it is not, don't worry about us, my ego, or anything else. If it's not your will, slam that door in our faces because we don't want to be where you don't want us to be. And he has never failed to guide us. There is nothing like fasting to give you spiritual clarity as the direction of God. So we pray and we fast over a crisis that we're facing or a critical decision that we have to make. The third reason is we fast to express sorrow for our sins. To express sorrow for our sins. In the book of Jonah, he's a prophet. God sends him to a place called Nineveh, a wicked city. He says, I want you to go there and declare to them, your sins have caught up to you and God is about to destroy this place. And as the word gets through Nineveh and gets to the king of Nineveh, this is what happens. He's convicted in his heart of the sins. And in chapter 3, verses 7, he says, this is the proclamation the king issued in Nineveh. By the decree of the king and his nobles, Do not let people or animals, herds or flocks taste anything. Do not let them eat or drink. I've heard some people that were serious about fasting, but when you say the pets can't get anything either, you're serious. He says, let people and animals be covered with sackcloth. That is an outward symbol of repentance and sorrow. Let everyone call urgently on God. Let them give up their evil ways and their violence. Who knows? God may yet relent and with compassion turn from his fierce anger so that we will not perish. And when God saw what they did and how they turned from their evil ways, he relented and did not bring on them the destruction he had threatened. I pray at the end of these 21 days, during these next 3 weeks, starting with me, moving to each one of you, I pray that God, through the power of the Holy Spirit and his word and the conviction, which means convincing, that he would reach down into the depths of our hearts and our souls and begin to reveal things that are holding us back. I pray that he reveal the things that no one else knows, that you've been holding on to and hiding, that I have, all of those things, whether it's a sin or a temptation or a lack of faith or whatever that is, that he'll dredge that up within you, not to condemn you, but to bring it into the full light of his glory so that the grace of God and the blood of Jesus Christ can cover that and purify you. I pray that these 21 days would be such a cleansing in your life that you come out of this feeling more pure and more righteous and more holy than you ever felt, not because of anything that you've done, but because of the glory and the grace of God in your life. We fast to express sorrow for our sins so that God may then cover them with the blood of Jesus Christ and make us right. Finally, we fast as a genuine desire for Jesus to return. Jesus is teaching his disciples, and John the Baptist's disciples come to him, and they ask him a question. And they said in verse 14 of chapter 9 in Matthew, then John's disciples came and asked him, how is it that we and the Pharisees fast often, but your disciples do not fast? And Jesus answered, how can the guests of the bridegroom mourn while he is with them? The time will come when the bridegroom will be taken from them, and then they will fast. I don't know if you know what it feels like to have such feelings and love for a person that when you're not with them, you literally ache, that you long to see them. I gotta be honest, I don't hear this taught on a lot, but when's the last time you fasted? When's the last time you bowed your head to the Lord and said, I don't want anything, I don't need anything. My desire is not only to be close to you now, but just like John would say in the book of Revelation, even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. I want to see you soon. Oh, Lord, I desire more than anything else to be with you. And I know you're with me right now. And I know I worship you by faith. But, Lord, I long for the day when I worship you face to face by sight. We fast. And we mourn and we long to see the return of Jesus. No life plan that you will ever formulate can replace the fact that Jesus has planned an eternity with him. And we long for it. We fast. So why is it that sometimes people fast and they don't see any change that takes place? I believe it's because we fast for the wrong reasons. We fast to get something, or we fast because of an outward circumstance, when God uses fasting to transform us inwardly. In the book of Isaiah, in chapter 58, the Bible talks about God speaking to his people about fasting that would literally transform their lives. Now, fasting is a spiritual discipline, but it's not a religious exercise you just use to check off the box of doing something. That's not going to do you any good. Look at what the people did when God addresses the people in chapter 58 of Isaiah, verse 1. He tells Isaiah, shout it aloud, Do not hold back. Raise your voice like a trumpet. Declare to my people their rebellion and to their descendants of Jacob their sins. Day after day they seek me. They seem eager to know my ways as if they were a nation that does what is right and has not forsaken the commands of its God. They ask me for just decisions. They seem eager for God to come near them. Why have we fasted, they say, and you have not seen it? Why have we humbled ourselves and you have not noticed? God says, yet on the day of your fasting, you do as you please and exploit all of your workers, and your fasting ends in quarreling and strife and in striking each other with wicked fists. He says, you appear to humble yourselves outwardly, but inwardly, you are longing to please your selfish desires. On a day you should be grieving from your sins, you're exploiting people like workers. On a day that you should be looking within at your own faults, asking God to clean you up, you are judging others, and that judgment ends in hostility and strife and violence. And this is what God says in his response in the second part of verse 4. He says, you cannot fast as you do today and expect your voice to be heard on high. You can't go through the motions and expect God to take notice. You can't continue deliberately in your sin and expect God to change. It doesn't work that way. He says, this is about transformation. He said, you're fasting so that I can change circumstances in your life. He said, what you should be doing is fasting so that I can change your life, change everything about you. Look at verses 5 through 7. He says, is this the kind of fast that I've chosen, only a day for people to humble themselves? Is it only for bowing one's head like a reed and for lying in sackcloth and ashes? Is that what you call a fast, a day acceptable to the Lord? And then he changes and says, is not this the kind of fasting I have chosen? To loose the chains of injustice, untie the cords of the yoke, to set the oppressed free and break every yoke. Is it not to share your food with the hungry and provide the poor wanderer with shelter? And when you see the naked, to clothe them and to not turn away from your own flesh and blood. What he's saying is this. Fasting is not about changing your circumstances. Fasting is about changing you. And when God changes you inwardly, it changes how you behave outwardly. And when you change outwardly, then God transforms not only you, but transforms the people around you that he brings in contact with you. Fasting is not meant to change God. It's meant to change us. You can move God's heart, but you cannot force God's hand. I see people treat fasting like they're on a hunger strike, making God do something. I'm facing this. I'm not eating a bite of food till God moves. Listen to me. God is not some all-powerful puppet that you control through strings of manipulations. He cannot be manipulated. He is to be worshiped, adored, and praised, and obeyed, and we humble ourselves before him. That doesn't mean that God isn't moved. God is moved by a heart that is being transformed by his glory. And sometimes fasting will move the hand of God, but it's not because we've manipulated him. It's because his desires have become our desires now. Do you know what John tells us in the book of 1 John, chapter 5, verse 14 through 15? He says, this is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask God anything according to his will, he hears us. And we know that if he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we ask of him. What he means is this. Is God is going to transform our desires. The Bible tells us, delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. But what it means is this, when you delight yourself in the Lord, you allow God to change your life and your desires so that now what I want is what he wants in my life. And now God listens to my prayers because I know that if I pray anything according to his will, not only does he hear me, the Bible says that he answers that prayer. But he's not coming alongside to answer selfish prayers. He's transforming me to see kingdom principles played out in my life and in the people around me. And he says, I will answer your prayers at that moment. Are we big enough? Are we bold enough? Are we brave enough to pray, oh God, change me in such a way that my prayers now align with your will so that your will may be accomplished on this earth? Are we big enough and bold enough and brave enough to pray that prayer? A prayer like John Wesley prayed years ago when he said, I am no longer mine, but yours. Put me to what you will. Rank me with whom you will. Put me to doing. Put me to suffering. Let me be employed for you or laid aside for you, exalted for you or brought low for you. Let me be full. Let me be empty. Let me have all things. Let me have nothing. I freely and heartily yield all things to your pleasure and disposal. And now, glorious and blessed God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you are mine, I am yours, and so be it. And the covenant which I have made on earth, let it be ratified in heaven. Amen. It's the same prayer that Paul prays when he says, I want to know Christ. I want to know him in the power of his resurrection. I want to know him in the fellowship of his suffering. I want to know him if it takes me to the top of a mountain or if it takes me to the bottom of a valley. I want to know Jesus and him alone and all that he is, and I want to see him glorified in my life, and I want that to exude out of my life and change the very people around me. And if that's your prayer, God will honor you. God will change you in ways you never dreamed possible. Here's what God says to the people in Isaiah chapter 58. He said, if you do those things, he says, let me tell you what's going to happen. Then your light will break forth like the dawn. Your healing will quickly appear. Your righteousness will go before you. And the glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. And you will call and the Lord will answer. And you will cry for help and he will say, here am I. If you do away with the yoke of oppression, with the pointing finger and the malicious talk, if you spend yourselves in behalf of the hungry and satisfy the needs of the oppressed, then your light will rise in the darkness and your night will become like the noonday. And the Lord will guide you always and he will satisfy your needs in a sun-scorched land and will strengthen your frame. You will be like a well-watered garden, like a spring whose waters never fail. Your people will rebuild the ancient ruins and raise up the age-old foundations. You'll be called repairer of broken walls, restorer of streets with dwellings. God cleanses us spiritually through fasting and allows him to accomplish his will in our lives. And here's what he promises us. I just want to enumerate those things one more time. What does he say he's going to give us? Revelation. He's going to reveal himself in ways he's never revealed himself before. Healing and wholeness, righteousness, his presence and his glory, answered prayers, continual guidance, contentment, strength, continual supply, and restoring what you thought was lost when you allow him to change you through fasting. My hope is we get our hearts set on him and get our minds fixed and what the purpose of fasting is, so that he can change us. What is God speaking to you about your 21 days of prayer and fasting? How does he want you to fast? What does he want you to do? How does he want you to pray? Is there a habit, temptation, addiction you need to break? I believe in these 21 days, God can do it for your life. Is there a healing you need in your life? I believe that God can do that, but he wants to transform you inside. Is there a crisis that you're facing? I believe the Lord wants to reveal himself in ways you've never seen before. Is there a critical decision you're facing? I believe the Lord wants to guide you. Are you seeking a deeper relationship with the Lord? I believe the Lord is there saying, if you draw near to me, I will draw near to you. That begins today. I'm going to encourage you to approach this time of prayer and fasting with humility and with faith. We humble ourselves when we say, God, I can't do this without you. Whatever this is, whatever you're facing, that's humility. I can't do this without you. But faith says, but I can do this with you. Whatever you're facing, the Lord is there. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes this morning? If you're here today and you know when you came in this place, things aren't right between you and the Lord. Maybe you're watching online and you know when we started this service, things weren't right between you and the Lord. But today you want to make a change. You can do that now. You simply need to pray something. Mean it with your heart, something like this. Lord Jesus, I thank you. I thank you for the grace and mercy that you have shown me, that you have offered to me. Today I surrender my life. I ask you to forgive me of my past, of my sins. But I also declare you're the Lord and you're the leader of my life. This is not my life anymore. I humble myself before you today. I'm yours. Cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Give me your grace and strength in order to live holy. And today I ask you to lead me through your word and through your spirit. I'll never be the same. Now, if everyone in the room would just pray this prayer of profession, we would say, Jesus, I give you my life. Come on, say, Jesus, I give you my life. Now, your head bowed, your eyes closed. If that's you, you know when you came in this place this morning, things weren't right between you and the Lord. I'm not here to embarrass you or call you out. I do want to pray for you this week. But you know that's you, and you made a decision to follow him today for the first time or the first time in a long time. I just want you to be brave and raise your hand really high just for a moment. It's a new day. First things first, amen. Keep them up really high just for a moment. Thank you. Thank you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Amen. Yeah, the Lord sees you. It's a new day. New day. Heavenly Father, I thank you right now. Thank you for lives that are changed. Thank you for eternities that are changed today. God, I pray that you just send unspeakable joy into their hearts right now, Lord. I pray that as the weight of sin is lifted off of their shoulders, I pray that they feel the liberty in Christ, oh Lord, to live righteous, holy, and to live joyfully in Jesus. God, I praise you and thank you for these changed lives. And Lord, in this room right now, as we prepare our hearts to partake of your body and your blood, as we initiate this fast, Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus, as we begin the fast, we do it by feasting on your body and your blood through the bread and the cup. Anoint it, sanctify it for us today. In Christ's name, amen. If you should have received some elements when you came in this morning. If you'll go ahead and take those elements out. If you did not receive any elements, would you please raise your hand really high so our host can get those to you? Just keep them up really high, please. Want to make sure everyone has the elements. Here, got some over here. Yeah. Just really, really high. Just want to make sure you've got them. Got some over there. Okay. If you'll go ahead and prepare those elements, the top clear seal will open up to the wafer, and then the other seal will reveal the juice. There's something about when you prepare yourself for a fast to feast on the truth that his body and his blood is enough. Enough for every need that you face. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 to 26, Paul said, on the same night that the Lord was betrayed, he took bread, and after he blessed it, he broke it. He said, this is my body, which is broken for you. Take and eat in remembrance of me. Would you remember the body of Christ? And in the same manner, he took the cup and said, this cup is my blood in the new covenant, taken off as often as you do in remembrance of me. Would you remember the blood of Christ? For as often as you eat the bread and you drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Lord Jesus, Heavenly Father, Holy Spirit, we humble ourselves before you today. We enter into this time of fasting knowing that you're going to do a work in us. Every time we feel a craving, Lord, I pray you help us to turn that craving spiritually to you then, to long for more of you. And God, I ask for answered prayers. As you transform us, Lord, I pray that you would just do the things you've promised to do in our lives. I pray, oh Lord, you cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I pray, oh Lord, you draw us near to you, that you give us direction in crisis and critical decisions we need to make. And Lord, that you will give us a genuine desire to see your kingdom come on this earth, but also to see the King come again very, very soon. And Lord, we ask that and believe that in your holy name in these next few moments as we pray for each other. There are some in this room that are facing physical needs, emotional needs. They need peace. Some, they're facing financial needs, some relational needs. Whatever those are, as we pray one for the other, I pray that you would just begin to do your work in us. Lord, what we do this morning is come to you and say, we can't do it in and of ourselves. We need you. So Lord, as we worship and we pray and we believe, may you be glorified in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. I'm going to ask you to stand with me, please. As we enter into this time of worship, our prayer team is going to come down front. If you have a need, I invite you to come. Don't leave here today if you've got a need. Have someone pray with you, but I want you to believe together and consecrate yourselves right now, as this song tells us that we believe for it. For everything that God has planned for us, we believe for it. Let's believe together right now.
Chains will never break, but they don't know you like we do. There is power in your name. We've heard that there is no way through. We've heard the tide will never change. They haven't seen what you can do. There is power in your name. So much power in your name. Come on, if we believe it, let's sing. Move the immovable, break the unbreakable. God, we believe. God, we believe for it. From the empire.
enough that he's strong enough. Come on, you are the way.
You are the way when there seems to be no way.
Don't just go through the motions right now. More than just lyrics, we're proclaiming the truth that our God is mighty and strong enough and big enough.
You are the way when there seems to be no way.
We trust in you, Jesus.
We trust in you, God, you have the mighty.
Sing it one more time.
Give him praise. Come on, if we serve the God of the impossible, give him praise. If you're expecting great things in these 21 days, give him praise. Amen. Amen. God, we believe for it. Hallelujah. Listen, I know Pastor told this at the 9:45, and I'm going to say it today at the 11:15 service, that we're just going to let the cat out of the bag now. On January 30th, when we end the fast and we come together that day, we're believing for a day of miracles. Amen. We're believing God to move like he's not moved before in this church and in your life. So if you have a friend that is in need or sick or facing something, tell them about it. Put God on the spot. Not that we can twist his arm, but tell them that we serve a God of the impossible, a God of miracles, bringing them to church throughout the 21 days of prayer and fasting, but especially on January 30th, we're going to come together believing that God is going to hear us from heaven and move on our behalf to change us, to change the church, and by his will and by his grace to change the world around us. Amen? Amen. We love you so much. Thank you for being here this morning. Listen, would you celebrate with me? 9 people gave their hearts to Jesus today. Amen. Listen, God is already moving. Amen. He's already doing the miraculous. He is a God who loves and he is a God who saves. If you're one of those 9 who gave your heart to Christ today or made a decision to follow him, or maybe you've done it in recent weeks, we're going to have a team back down here at the front of the stage area right after the service is over. We've got a free book that we want to put in your hands and just talk to you for just a moment. Give us a minute or two just to talk to you about the decision you made to follow Christ. That's immediately after dismissal today. And if you're looking to go deeper into the church, get to know more about North or find a life group, I know there's life group tables that are set up in the lobby, and across the atrium is our Next Steps area where we can get you plugged into all kinds of great things like North Life and just learning more about your spiritual gifts and making this church your home. We desire that. We hope that is happening in your life and happens real soon. Allow me the privilege to bless you before you go. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you, to be gracious unto you, and grant you his peace in Christ's name. Now let's give a response from Psalm 19. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. God bless you, folks. We love you. Have a wonderful day.